Hello, and welcome to Besotted Geek. I am Stork, but I'd rather be Tom Cruise, maybe? Somewhat? Certain aspects? Not others? Anyway, let's get into it, and it's going to be another short show, like I mentioned last week, because we just did our big movie episode, where we cover a lot of the same topics I cover on this show, so you can find that at Besotted Geek. Scratch that. Reverse it. Patreon.com/Besotted Geek. And yeah, we covered Ghostbusters 2 mainly, and then a bunch of other fun nonsense, comics, manga, nerd news, birthdays, deaths. We covered the gamut. Anyway, let's get into the old box office. I already did the sound effect, but what the hell? Let's do it again. Coming in at number one, that new movie, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, made $56.2 million for a gross of $80. Because I think it came out Wednesday. So this is just counting July 14th through 16th. It's pretty good. Dare I say, a little low for a big Mission Impossible movie. I thought this was a franchise that, it's at $80. I guess that's pretty good over 4 days, and it wasn't a holiday weekend or anything like that. I expected about 100, but my expectations may be blown way out of proportion just because of the superhero craze and just seeing these astronomical figures being put up. So who knows? Coming in number two, as a dog is choking in the background. Anywho, coming in at number two, Sound of Freedom made another $27 million for a total of $85 million. And intrepid reporter on the streets, Otter, informed me that this was not a religious movie, as I thought, but it's more of a right-wing, anti-pedophile movie, but, like, to the extreme. I mean, yeah, everybody should be anti-pedophile, right? I'll die on that hill, but it's one of those, like, cray-cray right-wing movies. Apparently, I really didn't look any more into it. That sounded like enough. And he said they're cooking the books on this one. So that $85 million is probably bullshit. And I think that's crazy, too. Granted, it's been out 2 weeks, but it's outgrossing Mission Impossible after 4 days. I don't know. It seems off to me as well. And I didn't really look into this. Jim Caviezel's in it. Isn't he like a nut job? I think he might be at this point. I'll go out on that limb. Sure. Don't at me. But this one seems like, I don't know, were they running kids out of pizza shops and Hollywood studios and stuff like that? That's what I surmise is what it's about. So, you know, kooky and fun topic. So I can see why that would make a ton of money. Moving on to Insidious, The Red Door at number three made another $13 million for a total of $58 million. And coming in fourth, Indiana Jones, $12 million for a total $145. Yeah, I would like to see that get to $200, but I don't know that that's going to happen at this rate. I may chip in a few bucks at the end of this month, but we'll see. The jury is still out on that one. I'm just not in a more of a burn me once, shame on you. And I don't want to shame myself by going to see another Indiana Jones movie where he's way too old. So we shall see, but don't hold your breath, dear listener. Coming in at fifth, Elemental made another $8.7 million for $125. At sixth, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, $6 million for $368. Seventh, Transformers, 3.4 for 152. Eight, No Hard Feelings, 3.3 for 46. Nine, Joyride, 2.5 for 10 million-ish. And still chugging along The Little Mermaid at 10th with another 2.35 million for 293. So that is the top 10. The big new one, Mission Impossible, the head-scratcher, Sound of Freedom right behind it. I don't get it. But let's move on to getting to know you. And I went to the doctor recently. My primary care physician, PCP, if you will, I don't know if you've heard the term, but yeah, it's I got the good news that since I'm 45, I have to get a colonoscopy soon. So that's fun. Can't wait for that. And they put it in my hands, so to speak, where it's, yeah, we're going to tell the guy to call you, but he never does. So if you don't get a call in 3 to 4 weeks, you got to call him and make the appointment. I'm like, yeah, we'll see if that happens. I actually wrote it down on the calendar, so I'm probably just going to have to go through with it. But yeah, I've heard things, and I'm not looking forward to that at all in any aspect, pre, during, or post. So there's that. And also, I had the benefit of like, hey, guess what? You're due for a tetanus shot, too. So I got jabbed in the arm. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I'm so used to getting poked by needles at this point that it doesn't really faze me that much. So, yeah, that was a fun little visit. And can't wait for... Another thing I heard about the colonoscopy is they're booked for like 3 to 4 months. So by the time I actually call them, if they don't call me, which I don't think they will, and schedule it, it'll probably be another 6 months to live a uninvasive life. So I plan to live, damn it, live in those 6 months or so. Anyway, that's it that's been going on for me. Let's move on to some new stuff that I watched recently. Strange New Worlds, Season 2, Episode 5. Yeah, I should probably try and remember these titles, but, you know, I should have written that down. But this one, there's a transport, not a transporter accident. That's the old standby, usually. This is a shuttle accident, where Spock and Nurse Chapel are in the shuttle and they're going to explore this anomaly type thing. And there's an accident and there's this weird time space thing that these aliens from the past that are very advanced medically, they save them, but they notice, in their opinion, Spock is damaged. He's not like the other one that was with him. So they remove the Vulcan half of him. So he's full human. So wackiness ensues. It's Spock with full humanity, not suppressing emotions. Really good acting job by Ethan Peck, I think is his name. It's Gregory's grandson. I don't know if I ever mentioned that before, but yeah, that's pretty cool, right? And yeah, so it was a fun episode. I enjoyed this. They're getting into things that, even though it was mostly Spock, there's some Chapel. There's some good Pike moments, really good moments with Spock's mom. She comes aboard because Spock, this is the same time that they had planned him and his bride-to-be to have this engagement, Vulcan engagement party between his fiance's parents and Spock's parents, although him and his dad, Sarek, are on the outs, so only his mom showed up. And they're trying to dupe them because he's human and he's trying to be Vulcan and pretend that he's still Vulcan. A lot of fun. And really just good moments between him and his mother. Like, I'm very emotional. So it did balance that well between goofiness and fun and then just like tearing up emotional moments because he realized what his mother had gone through loving a Vulcan. And all the shit she had to go through, and also just having human emotions and having to deal with that kind of on her own. And they shared a memory through a mind meld, and it was the time that Spock first was accepted by other Vulcan kids. That was her memory that he got to share. So it was really good. And the one thing I'm not 100% on is they are really forcing this Spock-Chapel relationship, and it's kind of full out now. His fiance kind of let him off the hook of being engaged or saying that we're not ready. We need time apart and things like that. And I'm like, no, you already have a lot of time apart. I thought that was one of the complaints because he's always on Starfleet missions on the Enterprise and stuff like that. So he's not really around her that much, but she kind of cut him loose a little bit. And if you know the original series, you know, this leads to him and Kirk having to fight to the death in the Vulcan ring at one point because this woman that used to be engaged to Spock is setting him up, and it's a whole thing. So that prior knowledge kind of makes it fun, but I just think they're rushing into this Spock-Chapel relationship a bit, and it seems a little forced. That's my one complaint. I really like Chapel, though. I like Erica Ortegas, I think is the pilot's name. I'm trying to learn these names a little bit. She's great in this episode. Good Uhura moments. So, yeah, you still get some flavor from the rest of the crew. And that's all I want. I don't want these one-offs of just one of them. Again, unless it's Pike or possibly Spock. And this was a total Spock episode. And we've had a few, but still, they have sprinkled in a lot of other crew stuff in this one. And I think that's strong when they do that. It just feels more like the Star Trek episodes I want to watch. So if you don't like it, fuck you. No, it's really picked up. I was really kind of on the fence after that third one, just not digging this season, but the last two have restored my faith in this series. So good on you, Strange New Worlds, even though half the time I call you Discovery by mistake. Sorry, I don't want to put that on you. Moving on, Secret Invasion, Episode 4. And in the last one, I had said, I think I titled the episode, Khaleesi has fallen, or something. And this one, Khaleesi hath risen. I should have seen this coming. She took the Super Skrull serum. She's not dead. She's alive. So Emilia Clarke still big into this series. And I saw a headline from her article about saying how she might be big into the MCU at this point if she's a Super Skrull that continues, and she could be like one of the better superheroes. So that's kind of cool. This one was a big action episode, and I liked it. There was a big shootout. I was expecting Jerry Butler to show up to save the president during this helicopters and cars and Skrulls and like Secret Service, this big shootout on the stretch of road. So it had a good production value. I just love seeing Nick Fury blowing helicopters out of the sky with like handheld rocket launchers. I guess they're all handheld to an extent, but this was more like almost like a gun, but it was pretty cool. And yeah, I had fun with this episode, but now Telos has fallen. Is it Telos or Talos? I think it's spelled Talos, but I think they say Telos. But if he's really dead, then I'm pissed off again, because Ben Mendelsohn's a big part of this, and he's might be my favorite actor in it. So that sucks. If he's dead, who knows? Maybe she slipped him the serum too in a non-sexy way. That's his daughter. How dare you even think that? You people disgust me. Anyway, moving on to sports ball. A lot of stuff this weekend. I didn't watch most of it, but Rory McIlroy, we'll start with golf as we usually do, wins the Scottish Open by going birdie-birdie in the final two holes to beat, I'm not going to say hometown hero, but local, I guess, the guy they were rooting for, this Robert McIntyre from Scotland, by a stroke. He beat him by a stroke. Birdie-ing the last two holes to beat him by, and this Robert McIntyre guy shot like a final round 64 or something crazy. So he did really well just to get into position to win. And he was actually in the clubhouse watching, and then Rory went birdie-birdie for the win. I didn't see a lot of this one. It was being in Scotland. I like to watch it live, although we did watch the tape delayed version, but it was only on from 12 to 3, and we were at a nephew's baseball game a little bit, and the in-laws were over a little bit, so we kind of only caught the last four or five holes, but it was an entertaining finish, and more importantly, I'd won all three of my bets on this one. That barely happens. I barely win one. I'm lucky to win one, usually. I had Rory to win, not to win, but in the top 10, and these are all even money bets. That's kind of what I look for. I don't want to bet more than what I get back. I'm betting at least whatever I bet, I get the same amount back. So I'm not putting up more than I win, basically. So, yeah, I had him to top 10. I had Scottie Scheffler top 5. He finished tied for 3rd. And I had Tommy Fleetwood top 20, and he finished tied for 6th. So these were kind of easy ones, except for Scheffler. He kind of snuck in there. But he was hovering around 5. He's good. He always hovers around the top 5. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's favored to win next week, although I think it'll be Rory again, especially after winning this one. People just go with the hot hand a lot of the time, so I would expect him. It was weird. He was favored to win it, the Scottish Open, like plus 700, would mean, which means, in my terms, bet a dollar, win $7. I didn't do that because he hasn't won in a while, and he's kind of hangs in there, but then he kind of chokes on, he's been choking on putting a little bit, so I wasn't super confident. But when I saw that he was top 10, he was still even money, basically. I think it was a buck to win a buck five or something like that. I jumped all over that with my $1 bet. But yeah, so I thought that was weird that he was kind of favored early. I think somebody else got favored before it actually started. But when I looked at it, he was the favorite. And then I saw him, oh, geez, I can basically bet even money on him just to finish in the top 10. I'll take that all day. So that was pretty cool. I won my bets. And yeah, also, they played three to a hole again because the weather, it was crazy. It was very windy. It's right off the Scottish coast. The course itself, it didn't have those British pothole bunkers that I really love that are like just, it looks like somebody just took a big, I don't know, fence post digger and stuck it straight down in the ground and pulled up some ground and then just put sand in it. Their bunkers are crazy over there. I didn't see a lot of those, but it had a really long grass all over the course. If you miss the fairways, fairways looked a little too green for me. I like a browner fairway over there. Yeah, a lot of wind though, a lot of wind, and it looked cold. Like everybody was bundled up. Rory was smuggling peas. So it was cold and miserable. I understand why they went. They actually went early and played three to a hole, which doesn't happen a lot. So they were trying to avoid the weather. And it all worked out for, well, I guess it really worked out for the winner. But the thing is, if you go early in the day, a lot of times you don't get the conditions that they're trying to protect you from when they do this sort of thing. So you're also behind. The people who go last are the ones in the lead. So they kind of have to deal with the conditions and it makes it a little harder on them. So it kind of like equals out, I guess, in that way. But it was a pretty good tournament. We're really looking forward to the British Open next week. I don't think I did any coming soons. I forgot about that. So coming soon next week for sports ball, the British Open. Try and check that one out. It's the Liverpool. It's in Liverpool, some sort of royal golf course in Liverpool. And it's one of, I love the Masters, but I think my next favorite is the British Open. It's just really old school and challenging. It's the birthplace of golf almost. Scotland is the birthplace of golf, I think. Is it Scotland or Ireland? I think it's Scotland. So just in the British Isles, it's always good. The courses they have are unlike what you see most of the time when you watch golf. And I like that about it too. So we'll see. Me and Peacock are going to try and do some sort of British breakfast, like baked beans and eggs and bangers and tomatoes and, you know, this crazy huge. We did that for the London Games whenever the Olympics were in London a few years back. And I actually liked it. It's odd, but it kind of works. And then you're kind of done for the day. You just eat that and you're just like, whoa, I don't know if I can get off this couch. So that will be next week. Also, this past weekend, I didn't see any of this, like any at all. And I usually do like to watch tennis, but yeah, the Wimbledon happened. And Carlos Alcaraz, not Alcatraz, Alcaraz, who is apparently the world number one, never heard of him. He beat Novak Djokovic 1-6, 7-6, 6-1, 3-6, 6-4 to win Wimbledon, which is crazy. The losing 1-6 and then winning 6-1, that's kind of nuts. It's the third longest one. It took 4 hours and 42 minutes. I think I watched the longest one, and I think it was Federer Nadal, and it was like one of the best things I've ever watched sports-wise. It was just, especially that final set. I think they had like something crazy, like 20 tiebreakers in the final game. It was so good. And Nadal won it eventually, but that was one of the best sporting events I've ever watched. Just the back and forth, and I think that has to be the longest one. I remember that being crazy long, and I think I watched the whole thing. So, yeah, I haven't. It's just now that I don't have cable, I kind of miss out on things like this. I knew what was going on, but I didn't know it was the end. where I would have tried to watch at least the final match. And this Carlos Alcaraz is the fourth youngest winner. He's only 20 years, 72 days old at the time of the win. He did win the U.S. Open last year, and that's why he's number one right now. And it's coming up in August as the U.S. Open, so he'll be trying to defend that. He hadn't beaten Djokovic before, I don't think. So I wish I would have seen it, because it seems a little historic with all these third longest and fourth youngest things going on. And I do enjoy some tennis. Other scores over the weekend, 4-6, 1-3, and 4-8. All right, I do have one trailer to talk about. It is Justice League War World. It's hard to say. War World, but one word. One word, War World. There we go. This trailer dropped a month ago. You can actually buy this now. I don't know if it's on Max yet, but I haven't seen it. It's based on comics that I didn't hear great things about, but the trailer looked fine to me. There's like three worlds, Wonder Woman and the Wild West in one of them. Clark Kent is kind of in a 50s sci-fi. It felt very War of the Worlds. Maybe that's where they got the title. And then we got Batman the Barbarian, like kind of Conan-esque shenanigans going on with Batman and different beasts and things like that. And then I think they all meet and they try and figure out what's... I don't know. It looked interesting, though, and good animation. And the DC animated stuff is usually better than the movies. So if you haven't watched any, give it a go. I would say start as close to the beginning as you can, because I think the early stuff is better than what they put out lately, probably because they're drawing from more current comics that aren't that great, honestly. So, yeah, the older stuff, and they always get good voice work, too. At least they used to. I haven't seen a lot of the newer ones. I think Pittsburgh Nerd just reviewed Justice League Doom, I think that the Cthulhu one, which I saw on HBO, on Max, sorry, and I thought, well, I've already seen that. But then, no, I haven't. I remember watching the trailer, I think, but I don't think I ever watched that one yet. So that's something I'll try and check out, because I do like the animated stuff. The recent ones, there was one set in the 70s or something, and it was really good. I forget. I think it was Batman, but also it was like three of his trainers or something like that. I think it was a Batman one. I can't remember the name of it, but also the I don't know how recent this one was, but the Deathstroke one was really good. And I like the Justice League Dark ones too. I think there's two of those, but the Justice League Dark, I think Apocalypse, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that as well. So there have been some good recent ones. I just feel like they were hitting home run after home run with the early stuff, and then it kind of dipped for me. But yeah, if any of that interests you, check them out. And then again, if it's based on a comic, go ahead and check that out too. At least they kind of mentioned that in the trailer I saw. It's like, here's what you can read if you enjoyed this. Good. Do that, please. Get people to check out the comics, even if the comics weren't that great for this one. But a lot of times they're better. So I applaud that, because they don't do it enough. Every DC show on CW should have ended with an ad for the comics, and they just don't do it. It's like the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing with these guys, and it's been that way for a long time. Hopefully Gunn and Peter Skarsgård can change things around. I can never remember that guy's name. I should just have a note stuck to my computer. Whatever his damn name is. Anyway, that is it for me. I forgot to look what's coming soon. Nothing's on my horizon other than the British Open. There's probably a movie coming out. Look for it yourself. I'll try and do better next week. Again, this was a short show, and I kind of put this together at the last minute. I bet you can't tell, because we just did our movie podcast. But anyway, if you want to, you can follow us on Twitter at BesadaGeekPod. You can email us, BesadaGeek@gmail.com. Check out our website, BesadaGeek.com. Buy some shit, tpublic.com/user/BesadaGeek. Support the show at Patreon.com/BesadaGeek. And I eventually might play video games on Twitch.tv/BesadaGeek. We'll see. We'll see. That is it for me. I will talk to you. Oh, have a good week. I'll say that. Thanks for listening. And yeah, I'll be back next week with another stellar episode. I will try harder. I try not to forget coming soon at the very least. And I should have more nerd news and trailers and stuff like that. So hang in there, folks. It'll be better, probably. See ya.